text is the gospel reading from Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Now, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Here ends the reading. Those Pharisees and teachers of the law are at it again, muttering because Jesus eats with sinners, muttering because Jesus welcomes sinners, muttering as holier-than-thou people do. Makes you sick, doesn't it? We wouldn't do that, would we? We don't do that, do we? You sure? Are you sure you're really in favor of throwing parties for prodigal sons and daughters who come home? This is a favorite parable, but do you honestly agree with it? Do you really think someone should be able to leave a son, come home a bum, and be welcomed a king? Would you stand for that happening in your family? If you answer sure, I wonder if you're paying attention to what takes place in this parable. How would you feel towards a brother or sister, particularly a younger one, who went to your father and said, "I wish you were dead so I could have my inheritance"? The younger son said as much to his father. In Jesus' time, there was no law, there was no custom, there was no practice where a son could get his share while his father lived. To ask for it from a living father was the same thing as saying to him, "I wish you were dead." Then what if this younger brother sold his portion of the family farm? As soon as he got his share, he sold it to strangers. Land that had been in your family for generations is no longer. Having insulted your father, having destroyed what the man had worked a lifetime for, this brother moves off into a far country and parties hardy. He goes through the wealth your dad had worked years to accumulate in a matter of months. Now your brother is broke. And in order to survive, you hear that he has glued himself. That's what the Greek word literally means. He's glued himself to someone in that country. The guy doesn't want him around. That's why your brother had to glue himself to him. And so the guy offers him the job of pig feeder, knowing that a Jew would have to renounce his religion to take the job. But you hear your brother has taken the job. Now, not only has he renounced his father and family, but his faith. When a brother such as this wants to come back home, should he be received like a king? Should the best, literally the first robe, be put on him? The robe the father normally wore and the one that should be left to the elder son. Should a no-count brother who had totally wasted his inheritance be entrusted with a family signet ring, which gives him access to the remaining family fortune? Would you want your bum of a brother to have your dad's ATM card, his Visa or checkbook? And should a brother who has reduced himself to a homeless street person be made lord once more in the house? That's what the father did by instructing his servants to put sandals on his feet. This indicated that these servants were once more under the prodigal son. Now the partying begins. The one calf that had been saved all year is slaughtered. Since there is no refrigeration, all of that one calf will have to be eaten on this one occasion. A live band is hired, eating, drinking, celebrating, and dancing go into high gear. All of this happens for the sake of the prodigal son. By the way, did I tell you prodigal means wasteful? Are you really in favor of throwing parties for wasteful people? People who have sinned seriously and hurt many. Well, let's take the question out of family life and put it into church life. Do you really think people who take God's good gifts and waste them, never thinking or caring about the needs of the church, should be welcomed back? Do you really think people who have seriously sinned against the Heavenly Father should be received back into the church as if they'd never left? Are you really in favor of parties for prodigals? I'm not. They don't deserve it. They're not worthy of special treatment. Isn't that how you feel? You've stayed in the church. You've working, slaving, sacrificing. You've not dishonored your father by sinful living. You've not wasted his grace. If anyone deserves a party, it's you, not some low-life prodigal who deserted the church. When we think this way, our problem is not with the prodigal getting the party, but with the father giving it. The elder son has a problem with the father, not his brother. Had his brother come home and did what he intended to do, had he come home and said, make me like one of your hired men, that would have suited the elder brother just fine. That would have been fair. Then the prodigal would have gotten exactly what he deserved. But the father didn't allow that. Before all creation, the father ran to meet the prodigal. According to Aristotle, men of dignity never ran in public. It was disgraceful. But the father runs, throws his arms around the filthy, stinking, pig-feeding son, and covers him with kisses. He receives him back into his good graces without any pledge at all to work his way back in. Now, the elder son didn't see this himself. He was hard at work as he always was in the field. When he comes in, he hears the party in full swing, and he's suspicious. He pulls aside one of the boys hanging around to question him. In the elder son's mind, there could be no possible reason for partying in his father's house. So the elder son asked the boy, what on earth could this be? Now the elder son didn't just ask that one question. Jesus says he examines the boy like a lawyer cross-examines a witness. It was a legal word used to describe just that. And that's fitting. The elder son lived in an adversarial relationship with his father. When the eldest son finds out what's going on, he becomes enraged. The Greek doesn't describe someone flying off the handle suddenly. No, it describes deep, seething anger. And the object of his anger is not his brother, it's his father. You can see this by how he explains his rage to his father. I've been slaving for you for years. I've never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me anything. This no good prodigal is your son, not my brother. You wasted the fatted calf on this good for nothing son. You see what the eldest son hates his father for? Grace. When he says, you never gave me anything, he's really saying, I've earned everything I've ever gotten from you. And that's our problem too when we oppose parties for prodigals. We're opposed to the graciousness of the father, not the prodigalness of others. We're believing that we deserve to be forgiven. We are worthy of blessing. We have earned all that we've ever gotten from our Heavenly Father. These other people, these prodigals, they deserve nothing but wrath and punishment for their wastefulness. By nature, we are not in favor of parties for prodigals. By nature, we are going to stay outside of the Father's house rather than party with the prodigals inside. The only solution to our problem is the son. Not either son in the parable, but the son who tells it. Oh, he's in the parable too. He's the waiting, forgiving, self-sacrificing father. Remember why Jesus told this parable. Not to explain the actions of God the Father, but to explain his own. To explain why he welcomes sinners and even eats with them. Elsewhere, Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. In this parable, he who sees the Father really sees the Son. Jesus shows us that though we oppose parties for prodigals, our guilt is the same. When speaking to the elder son about the younger, he says, this brother of yours. Yes, we are of the same sinful flesh as the prodigal. When the prodigal demanded his share of the father's estate, the elder son took his share without protest. The prodigal's idea of a good time was partying without his father in a far land. The elder son of a good time was partying with friends without the father. The prodigal stay had started for home believing he could work his way back into his father's house. The elder son stayed in the home believing he had earned his place by years of work without ever disobeying. The two sons are equally guilty, and we are as guilty as the prodigals we know. Jesus, by means of what the father does in this parable, shows how he redeemed both sons. The father humbles himself for the sake of each son. For the younger, he ran to meet him rather than make him bridge the gap. For the elder, he publicly left the party to bridge the gap. Jesus humbled himself on our account, whether we are prodigals or elder sons. He left the eternal mansions of heaven to place himself in the womb. He came to meet us rather than make us try to reach him. Whether we are caked with pig manure from sins we've rolled in, or we're covered with self-righteous indignation, Jesus comes and wraps his arms around us. He who commands angels, devils, and all power in heaven and earth smothers us filthy sinners with kisses and pleads passionately with arrogant ones. Jesus did more than humble himself. He did more than cast off the glories of heaven for our sakes. He endured the unspeakable torments of hell for us. When the Father puts away the sins of his sons at no cost to them, it doesn't mean it didn't cost anything. It cost him plenty. The prodigal came back to a full inheritance, though he'd already wasted one. The elder son is told by the father, everything of the father belongs to him. That leaves the father with nothing. The father pays dearly for the blessings he freely gives to his sinful sons. Jesus pays for the blessings God the Father gives us at no charge. The Father covers us with kisses because the blood of His Son covers our stench. The Father pleads for us to come into His house because He kicked His Son out to pay for our arrogant unbelief and proud rejection. Prodigal sons and daughters can come home, and elder ones can come out from working in the field and into their father's party, because all of their sins have been freely forgiven and completely forgotten for Jesus' sake. As the father in the parable proved his forgiveness by new clothes, sandals, and killing the fatted calf, so God the Father proves his forgiveness by clothing you with baptism, by giving you authority over sins, and by slaying his son for your food. Grace is a reason for sinners to celebrate. Grace received is a reason for heaven itself to party. Jesus says elsewhere that the angels party over just one sinner believing that God is gracious to them for Christ's sake. So there you have it. Angels are in favor of parties for prodigals. Jesus is in favor of parties for prodigals. We can be too. Whether we've been prodigal in a far country or prodigal in our Father's house, when God's grace in Jesus touches us, we've got to party. Let the celebration begin. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.